I'm Jess.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are
the Iggy Parents.
Welcome to episode 47.
This is Phoebe the COVID puppy. So we're going to talk about the differences between Adelaide and Phoebe that we have noticed. For example, Adelaide is sitting nicely on my lap and Phoebe is going nuts over there. But
you know,
she's
squeaking
still a puppy.
A toy on her own. I would say she's being very good and independent, but I think that she's squeaking and she knows that it's getting our attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Is it independent? Not sure.
Is seeking it codependent? Attention?
Not sure. We love you anyway, Phoebe.
So we're going to talk about the background of Phoebe's situation. So how she came into our lives and what her life has been since. Then we're going to talk about some of the problems we have experienced because of that. Some things we've needed to work around and some things we still need to work around. We have a few tips. We haven't figured out everything, but the things that we have noticed or things that we are planning on. And then we have some tips and stories from some people, our community. We asked on Instagram, right?
Yeah. So let's start, first of all, this episode's about Phoebe being a COVID puppy. But let's talk about what it means to be a COVID puppy, because people, pandemic puppy, COVID puppy, people throw these terms out and sometimes they mean the same thing or sometimes they're referring to something else. So for us, we're considering a COVID puppy a puppy that was brought home in the pandemic that's suffering from socialization issues due to a lack of socializing opportunities brought on by COVID. So for us, we're in our third lockdown currently in Ontario, and this means that Phoebe never got to go to puppy school. Phoebe has had maybe one or two meetups, so she's not been very social meeting other dogs. She's been to a dog park twice and overall just hasn't met too many humans or other dogs. So COVID puppy struggling with socialization. A COVID puppy could also be considering the puppies that people got because of the pandemic. So for us, we got Phoebe really because of Adelaide being lonely in the pandemic. So we do consider that the same thing for us. We did get her because of the pandemic. But with all of these people locked down, many people got a puppy because they thought this was a good time. And maybe they were surprised by the struggles of having a puppy during the pandemic. And that for us, in the beginning, we didn't even know if pet food stores were open because they were taken off the essential list of essential businesses. And we were worried that we would have to change Adelaide's food. And yeah, overall, lots of roadblocks brought up by the pandemic. Another term people use COVID puppy for, or they use the term COVID puppy for, is puppies that were got during the pandemic, but then things started to reopen and people realized that they couldn't take care of the puppy and then they had to return the puppy. So this is a really sad situation and grateful that that is not our situation, but it does happen. And this is why it's so important to know what you're getting into before you get a dog. Before you get a puppy, whether it's a rescue or you got it from a breeder, it's really important to know everything that it entails. And that's part of the reason why we do this podcast. We especially are giving a glimpse into the life of owning an Italian Greyhound. And I think that today we're going to give you a glimpse into owning an Italian Greyhound during a pandemic.
We first thought about getting a second dog near the beginning of the pandemic. It had been a couple of months in, and we realized Adelaide was really not doing well, not being able to go see other dogs. We had been spending a lot of time going to the dog park for her. There was also a puppy socialization, like puppy power hour, they called it, that we would bring her to, and she would get to meet 10, 15, 20 other dogs.
And that was indoors even during winter.
Right.
So when it was cold and we couldn't go to the dog park, there was this puppy power hour at a nearby daycare center, a doggy daycare, and I loved going to that.
Mm-hmm. So we thought about getting a second dog in kind of spring of last year. But we knew that we wanted our breeder to, like, we wanted a dog from our breeder. And it might have worked out that we would get another dog in the summer, but there was a litter that didn't take.
There were two litters that didn't
take.
There
were two litters that didn't
take. Crazy luck on that.
So we were able to bring Phoebe home on Halloween. So it had been a long time of Adelaide being alone and missing out on the socialization. She had some in the summer. We were able to go to parks and meet up with friends and things, but it was not the same as it was the year before.
Yeah, so I think that it's interesting because when we first thought of getting a second dog, it was the pandemic. It was inspired by the pandemic. But we didn't know how the pandemic was going to affect us by the time Phoebe actually came home. So we were living in Toronto downtown, and pretty much life didn't change for us, except we didn't, like, life didn't change, but we stopped working. life didn't change because we stayed in the same apartment. You still had a car. That's how we would travel around. We stopped taking transit, but we still took the dog out. So our life as dog parents didn't really change. We were just home a lot more. I was teaching fitness, but remotely. So we just weren't going out as much, which meant more time with the dog, which you'd think would mean, great, your dog's happy with you home. You don't need a second dog. Well, the dog wasn't happy with us home. It just solidified how lonely she was without other dog friends. She would look on our balcony out at the dogs walking by and cry and wag her tail. We would put dogs on the television and Adelaide would look at them and cry and jump up from the couch and wag her tail and follow them off the screen. We put on the Westminster Kennel Club and the dogs, the Italian Greyhounds we showed her, came towards her from the screen and then would walk off the frame. And Adelaide would look that way and try and find it out the door. So all this is to say, this was the start of the pandemic. This is when we wanted to get a second dog. We didn't realize we would end up leaving Toronto. So we committed to Phoebe, our second dog, in
September.
She was born September 2nd, and we were along for the ride for her birth story. So we were committed. Definitely Phoebe was going to be our dog. And we were living in Toronto, and it was fine. And the summer was pretty good in Toronto. Then come the fall, second wave, second lockdown, fitness again is shut down for me, again, working remotely, stuck inside. And there's something that a lot of regions have, and it's an app that will tell you if you've been exposed potentially to COVID-19. And for some reason, my app on my phone was very excited to go off. And I was not going anywhere except for the grocery store. And I would just go in. I wouldn't even interact with the staff there. I did the self-checkout. And we lived above the grocery store. So I would go in and be out in 10 minutes. And then we did HelloFresh delivery. So we really weren't spending a lot of time out. But my COVID alert app kept going off saying, you've been exposed, you've been exposed. Well, when that happens, you have to take off work. You can't go into work. You can't be exposed to other people. Ryan had another job at that time as well, and it even kept him home from work. And it was so frustrating to me because every time I went, my COVID test was negative. Now, I'm not saying that the app doesn't work, but for me, maybe my app was oversensitive. Maybe there was a glitch. Something went off, but it went off 5 times in 1 month, and I only ever went to the grocery store. So for me, I was starting to feel unsafe. We also got notices from our building that people within our complex had been diagnosed with COVID. We were always wearing masks. We were super safe, but it just didn't feel safe anymore to be downtown. And that was in October. But we committed to Phoebe in September. So we thought, well, where are we going to go with a newborn puppy? What are we going to do?
So 2 weeks after Phoebe came home, we packed up our apartment and moved in with Jess's parents. It has been good for them to have a backyard and space that they could go out into, no matter the situation out in the world. But there have been a lot of things that we've not been able to expose Phoebe to. For example, in the first week that we had Adelaide home, we took her in a shoulder bag out to an outdoor movie festival, and there was like 1,000 people sitting on the lawn. And we carried her through the people. We let her walk in the grass near there when all the people were around. And I can tell you for sure, even now, Phoebe at 8 months old would not be okay with a situation like that.
No. And Adelaide was completely fine with it. She loved it. She fell asleep in her, in our shoulder bag. And when she was out, she would run on the grass, do a quick pee, come back into the shoulder bag, and then just relax and be happy for the rest of the night. So many loud noises, traffic, humans, dogs, a big movie. It was an open park movie festival. So I was so impressed by Adelaide at the time. And now that we have Phoebe and I'm seeing how much she's struggling, I can see how being born in the pandemic brings about these problems.
One thing that I am very glad that we did with Phoebe during, I guess, the second week that she was home, we were already kind of in the process of planning our move. And we decided to take a few trips to make the moving day easier. So we took 3 trips, is that right? To Brantford to here with just a carload. And then we took a big U-Haul on the day. But that meant that Phoebe got to meet Jess's family before we actually moved here. So it
was around that 9-week mark.
Mm-hmm. So it really solidified for her that this is also her family. Something that we didn't really realize until a little after Christmas. We went to visit my family for a month or a few weeks.
In January.
Yep. And she was nervous to meet my parents and my grandpa.
And we had no idea this would happen. We were shocked.
Because she did so well with Jess's family that we just assumed she would be good with other people.
And Adelaide was always good with other people. So it never crossed our minds that Phoebe would be nervous. So what were the signs of Phoebe being nervous, Ryan?
The main one is her little baby bark that she has. We just went live yesterday for Adelaide's birthday, and Phoebe was doing her little baby bark when she could hear people in, like, out on the street and other backyards. And she said that is the same bark as her mom.
Oh, that's a different bark.
That's an Adelaide bark. But the little baby bark is kind of a scared, tail tucked.
Roof.
Yeah.
Roof. It's kind of under the breath.
Roof. Also, Phoebe has perfected the art of backing away from a situation.
She even backs away from her own poops. It's weird. She likes reversing.
Yeah. So she likes to keep an eye on a situation while she is getting away from it.
Exactly. Phoebe is still not good at walking on a leash, and she's 8 months old. So with Adelaide, we took her on her first walk, I think before her vaccinations were fully complete, which is a risk, I know, but they say that the risk is kind of worth it for the purpose of socialization. So we took her when it was safe, no other dogs around. She wasn't walking by any spots where lots of dogs had peed before, because even the smell of the pee they can get can be risky for them when it comes to not being vaccinated fully and picking up disease or infection or whatever that is. We're not vets, by the way. But Adelaide was walking on a leash pretty early on, and we didn't have too much trouble. So Adelaide never bit her leash. She never tried to remove her collar or harness while we were walking. And in comparison, Phoebe has bitten through her leash. There's one puppy leash that we had, and we were on a walk, and I noticed that it was starting to fray because she had been biting it. And so when we stopped to, I think, pick up a poop or something, I picked up the dog, I looked at the leash, and I held it up to the sky, and you could see it was holding on by like 4 threads. that leash would have broken. She would have ripped all the way through her leash just by biting it during the walk. A 5-minute walk, too.
Which is not to say she would have run away or noticed. I don't think she fully understands the concept of what the leash is doing to her. She was just using it as a chew toy. I don't think it was her trying to get away.
I don't know, though, because she does bite as well. She was trying to bite her harness. I think she was trying to get out of it.
Oh, well then, maybe it would have been bad, but we noticed.
Yeah, I don't know. And of course, dogs can't talk, right? So we're never going to get the full story. But just from what I could see, I think she was trying to escape. I think you're right. She might not have tried to escape and run away from us. She might have just escaped and then wanted to be by our feet. But I think that she's resisting the feeling of being tied up by a leash or a collar or a harness. All this to say, in comparison to Adelaide, Adelaide was very good on walks in the beginning, but her trouble is pulling. But again, that's a different situation. She pulls because she wants to see dogs. She wants to meet other dogs. If she sees another dog, she will just pull until you get there. Phoebe, on the other hand, is so inexperienced with walking. And then because of these problems with her fear of things, she's pulling away from us. So this is a whole different experience for us to have the dog try and run away from you or the situation. And I think it's just because we didn't get to walk her early enough. She didn't get used to having a leash on. It is our fault as well, I think, Ryan. We didn't practice wearing the leash and collar indoors. We practiced more with Adelaide. I think with everything going on, moving houses at the start of this second lockdown and right when Phoebe came home, our world was kind of turned upside down. We had boxes everywhere. We're trying to unpack. We're still trying to unpack, and it's been 6 months. So I think that that is a big struggle for us that came because of the pandemic. We moved because of the pandemic, and in turn, it was also winter. We brought Adelaide home in the summer. She got to experience so much before
her first winter.
Yeah, before her first snow, before all of those things. And Phoebe didn't get that luxury.
The other thing about being in this different space is that we used barriers a lot more than we did with Adelaide. So in our little apartment, we would close the bedroom door, close the bathroom door. But then she basically had free rein of the other room, right? The rest of the room was an apartment, so it was kind of open concept. But here, there's multiple flights of stairs. There's lots of doors that can open and close. So we would block them off much more. So that felt good enough to keep them contained, right? Both of them. Adelaide is, like we were saying, very curious and likes to explore as well. So we would have the barrier up and then not, I think that is a big reason that we didn't think to use the collar or harness inside as a puppy.
That's true. We were able to contain her within the areas of the house. And once the weather started warming up again, we've been using the backyard so much. So we have a huge yard now, and Adelaide never had that opportunity when we were in Toronto. So the girls just run and chase each other outside, get tired, come inside and nap for hours. So that's another reason why we haven't been walking them. And I haven't seen any regression in Adelaide. If anything, I think her walking has become better. But when Phoebe walks with Adelaide, she tries to play with her. She tries to knock her off the sidewalk and pin her down and distract her. And we can just see how Adelaide is, you know, walking in a straight line, doing a great job, loose leash. And Phoebe just wants to disturb it all. She thinks it's playtime. She doesn't know what it means to go for a walk.
There have been a few times when we have wanted to walk the dog or dogs, but we know that it's a bigger problem to bring both of them, whether it's just one of us going out, in which case the two dogs would be a lot, or it's Jess's dad going out on a walk on his own, or we just don't have the time to get them both ready to go. So we have sometimes brought Adelaide out on a walk on her own, and Phoebe is not very happy about that.
No. So my dad has always loved walking Adelaide. He would walk her in the neighborhood on his own when we visited. He'd just ask, can I take the dog for a walk? Sure, why not? Go for it. But now he asks, can I take both dogs for a walk? And that's a more complicated question. So I just say, take Adelaide, we'll figure out Phoebe. And I do take Phoebe for walks alone as well. But if Adelaide goes for a walk and Phoebe stays inside, Phoebe gets very upset. She goes from room to room looking for Adelaide. She looks out the window. She cries. She tries to get up to your level. So if I'm cooking at the counter, she'll like hop on one of the kitchen chairs just to look up at me and kind of gives me a weird look. And I know it's because she feels off that her sister is not around and she's worried. So I don't know. That is the separation anxiety. And I know a lot of people, a lot of Italian Greyhounds experience it, but a lot of COVID puppies are experiencing this as well, whether it's because the puppy was born in this time or even potentially some dogs that have regressed because their parents are just always around. And then if the parents leave, they get very upset.
Phoebe is also really spooked by noises. So she will tune into sounds that are on the TV or are coming from neighbors much more than Adelaide was. So would when she was a kid. So Adelaide would basically sleep through all of these things that make Phoebe sometimes perk up from full asleep under a blanket and like rustles and tries to get out of the blanket to see what's going on, whether it's we're making a smoothie in the blender in the morning or someone whistles or a motorcycle drives by or something that she really doesn't like is babies crying on TV.
Adelaide doesn't care at all, but babies crying on TV makes Phoebe jump out of a blanket and she gets really alert. All of her legs are extended. There's no sort of relaxed position. She's on guard and doesn't know what's up. So I think that this is related to her being a COVID puppy, that she hasn't been out in the world, outdoors, experiencing so many of these things. But it might also be just her personality. She's a little bit more on the shy side, a little bit more spooked by things, a little more sensitive.
I think this next point is somewhat related to the move and not necessarily COVID directly, but Phoebe has taken longer to take to potty training. So with Adelaide, like I said, we had our basically one room apartment. We had the bedroom that she never went into and then the main room. And we would have the pee pad in the corner in her pen. We moved the pen twice, like from one spot to, or once from one spot to another during the time that she lived there. But she got really good at going into the potty, doggy bathroom by the end, but just pee pad in general. And we also were really good at spotting when she would have to go. So she usually would go off into a corner. She would try and get away from us, hide what she was doing.
Secret pooping.
And that is the time that we would go grab her, put her in. Sometimes there's drips across the floor, but that's what you have to do so that she doesn't learn to go in that spot. That is much trickier when you're talking about a three-floor house with three, like a pee pad on each level.
Yeah, because we live in the basement, so every floor is where they want to be. We have a whole life down here in the basement. There's a whole life on the main level and a whole life upstairs.
So Phoebe has had much more trouble learning where the spots to go are. But now that she's 8 months, I think we're very confident in her. Sometimes she will even go from upstairs down to the main floor if Adelaide is using the bathroom and she can't use it, or if the pad is too saturated. They like a clean pad.
You know, the things we learn about our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is attributed to us moving, but I'm going to say that us moving is because of the pandemic. So,
right, it's all tied together.
I'm putting it into COVID-related issues in socialization and just overall puppy development for Phoebe.
Right, because even it's all tied together because we, A, might not have gotten her, B, might not have moved, and C, would have had much better training, right? Would have been able to take her to puppy classes, would have been able to take her to the dog park. So,
right. So that's one of the things, too, that we haven't talked about as much. We didn't know when we brought Phoebe home that the second wave, I mean, yes, everyone talked about a second wave, but we didn't know how that second wave would affect businesses in the area. And we didn't know that we would be moving away from our local training center. So we loved going to, if you're from Toronto, When Hounds Fly. And we had a favorite trainer there who has now since left and moved out west. Still training, but out west. And for us, it's just so sad because we enjoyed the puppy socialization classes. And at the start of the pandemic, I remember other friends of ours getting puppies too. They went to When Hounds Fly, and in the very beginning, they didn't even have class in person. It was kind of closed for a while, and then they reopened and did either virtual training or drop your puppy off for puppy socialization and then pick them up at the end. And so for us, we thought maybe this is what we'd do. We would drop Phoebe off, do that. Or in the summer, when COVID was not so bad, we were able to go in person and we finished Adelaide's puppy training. She was in Dog Foundation, so she was in her secondary training. And we were able to finish training with Adelaide, which was so fun. And it felt very safe. We had masks on. It was indoors, but it was distanced and masks, and it felt pretty good. But then when COVID got bad in the fall, 2020, we just couldn't go back to our training center. We moved. It wasn't the same. And I don't know of any local places here. I feel like we missed the boat on training. I would love to still bring Phoebe for some training, but again, we missed that formative time when she was very small, and we did as much as we could at home ourselves, but she missed out on socializing with other not vaccinated pups yet.
The biggest struggle for me personally for dog training is figuring out what it is that we need to work on. I also had this trouble with Adelaide that it's one thing to watch a series on YouTube and know that you need to teach those things, but it's another thing to be able to pick out what the skill is that you need to teach your dog because of the behavior that's the problem. So because we're not dog trainers, I don't know what it is we need to teach Phoebe, which skill we need to teach Phoebe so that she won't bark at people.
Right. Is this about her being comfortable in her space and meeting new people? Do we have to introduce her to new people and make sure they have treats on them, make sure that they have certain body language so that Phoebe knows that they're safe people? It took Phoebe a little while to warm up to Ryan's family. And again, we said we were shocked by that, but we tried our best, and our breeder as well recommended giving treats to Ryan's parents and grandpa, especially because your grandpa would come in at unexpected moments. He'd be wearing a mask and Phoebe would stand on guard and start barking just at the sound of the door opening. And then when he came into the room, Phoebe would start barking, and we just have to facilitate that meeting to get her more comfortable. I don't know, with positive reinforcement training, like, I don't know what the protocol is in those situations. So again, COVID related as well, because everyone's distancing and we're not able to see people as frequently up close and with masks off. It's not so safe, at least for us now. We still don't have vaccine in Ontario for people our age. It seems like it's going to be a little while. But I think it is COVID related that we don't know what to do, but also we're put in situations where the dogs aren't even getting the same kind of interaction with humans that they would have in the past.
So should we move on to our tips and our plan for the future?
One last thing to say.
Great.
There's always one last thing to say.
I knew it. I just had to say that so that you would say your thing.
Exactly. This is actually a point, Ryan, that you wrote down in our list. Phoebe's having trouble with what we believe is called resource guarding. And I think that we can attribute this to COVID because, Ryan, we didn't work on it because we weren't in puppy school. Adelaide, we did work on with her resource guarding by practicing giving her a treat or giving her a chew and then taking it away and then seeing her reaction. And if she got upset, growled, or whatever, that's when you know, oh, she's having trouble like letting go of things. And it could be food, it could be a toy, it could be anything at all, right? So something weird that Phoebe does is she demands to have everything. So if Adelaide has a toy, Phoebe demands that it's hers. And because Adelaide is more of a grown-up and more mature, she kind of just lets Phoebe take her toys. Well, Phoebe will take everything. Phoebe will, if we give two chew toys, one to each girl, Phoebe will take two. If Adelaide even tries to jump onto the couch where Phoebe is sitting eating a chew, Phoebe will growl. Phoebe will growl and she will snap at her. And I've never seen her snap to the point where I think she's going to cause injury or I think that she's actually going to hurt Adelaide. It does still seem playful, but it does feel a bit more on the aggressive side. And it doesn't seem playful because Adelaide is not enjoying it. She's cowering. She's hiding between our legs. She's afraid to jump on the couch when Phoebe is there with a toy or a treat or a bone, like anything. Not bone, but a chew toy. Pig's ear.
Bully stick.
And it translates to food because Adelaide doesn't want to eat when Phoebe's around. If Phoebe is eating her food first, Adelaide will kind of sit by my feet shaking. And Adelaide is not usually a nervous girl. So this is where I can see it's Phoebe really affecting Adelaide with this sort of possessive behavior that everything has to be hers. And the other thing that is so weird is Phoebe doesn't do it to us. She only does it to Adelaide. And I'm not sure if she would do it to other dogs because we haven't had that experience yet. But one of the things she does is if you're sitting on the couch, Phoebe on your lap, blanket on top of Phoebe. If Adelaide hops up and wants to get under the blanket with Phoebe or wants to get on your lap, no. Phoebe from under the blanket, you think she's asleep. She's not. She starts growling. She's a little cinnamon bun in my lap with a blanket over her. Adelaide just comes near her and it's... And it kind of sounds like your stomach's growling. So it's very funny. But I don't know. I don't know what to do in this situation. We're not dog trainers. And this is something that we definitely have to look into, but I think that it's related to the fact we weren't able to train her at a facility and Ryan and I didn't know any better how to sort of nip this in the bud. We've been trying, but it's just been a struggle. And I don't know if this is a phase or if this is going to be something we're going to have to deal with for a long time.
The biggest thing about this is that it's a double standard.
Yes.
Right?
Forgot that part. Yeah.
It's like that Phoebe will do to Adelaide exactly what Jess was just describing with no reaction. And so Phoebe is very demanding. I was saying just the other day, I was like, oh, she's the alpha of this situation that, yeah, she hasn't learned better or, like Jess said, hasn't matured out of it. And it's hard to tell which is the case. So there are some things that we try and not let her get away with, right? If Adelaide jumps up and Phoebe starts growling, okay, nobody gets to sit on my lap.
Right. We're having to make those kinds of decisions, which is sad because I want the dogs on my lap.
Yeah.
But if they're going to fight over us, then no.
So this is something that we're going to have to work on, that we're currently going through, right? Phoebe's only 8 months old with much less experience in training than Adelaide, so we can only expect so much.
Another thing that Phoebe hasn't experienced as much, we've said already, is going outside on walks. But because of this, she hasn't experienced putting on clothing as much. So she's more resistant to clothing than Adelaide. And Adelaide was already resistant to clothing. So we use treats. We try and go slow. We do everything that is recommended. But Phoebe doesn't like putting on clothes and...
Right. The difference is that Adelaide kind of freezes up when she has clothes on inside, but Phoebe will fight you while you're trying to put the clothes on her.
Yeah, she tries to push her paws to get through the head of a sweater to push the clothes off.
So I know that one thing we can do is take it slower, that it can be a like have the clothes around
and then give her treats just by having the clothes around. Yeah,
but it's hard to remember to do that. We're not perfect with our training,
and it feels like when we get a good moment weather-wise to go for a long walk that we're going to be putting on these clothing for, it feels like the weather changes here so quickly. When we were living up north with Ryan's parents for a month, this is in the heart of winter. It was so cold and we were up north, so we couldn't take the girls on walks. It was just not safe, even with boots on, even with clothes. In a whole month, we were only able to go out a few times. Now that we're here, again, they don't like rain, so we have to wait for the rain to stop. And it's very windy where my parents live. And Phoebe in particular really hates the wind. So again, these are very sensitive dogs. And in particular, we're struggling with Phoebe's sensitivities. Adelaide, she's a champ. She's a rock star. She's a bit of a special case. And I think Phoebe maybe falls more into the Italian Greyhound sensitive, shy place.
Cliche.
Cliche. It doesn't mean she's not brave. She's very brave when it comes to things inside and on her own. She hits her head on something, she jumps off something, hurts herself, and like just keeps going, keeps playing, doesn't cry. She has only maybe Iggy cried once or twice. Adelaide Iggy cries over almost nothing. So they're all unique.
Now is it time for the tips?
It's time for the tips.
Okay. And this is tips from us now to our future selves.
Yes.
Right? So you listener are going to have different things to deal with and then are going to have different solutions. But these are the things that we hopefully are going to try and focus on when it comes to training Phoebe to be more like Adelaide. How much of a younger sibling syndrome does that sound like?
Oops.
So the big thing we need to work on is specific exercises with Phoebe. So we need to pinpoint the things that are problematic and try and recreate those situations in a controlled environment. So if that is someone rings the doorbell and she barks or runs away, I don't even know what her initial reaction is generally, but we can recreate that by going and ringing the doorbell ourselves. We don't have to wait for someone to come to do that situation. Another tip that we learned at puppy school, because Phoebe is so sensitive to noise, we can play the noise on YouTube, whether it's babies crying or motorcycles or whatever. Play that over the TV. And if I remember right, the tip is turn the volume up slowly until they're disturbed by it, bring it back down, and then give them a treat once they've calmed back down.
Yeah, and I think maybe even giving treats if they're calm while you're lifting it, okay, while you're lifting the volume, if I remember correctly. But again, we need to review that. So desensitization to noise, exercises inside the house while we're able to control things.
We also need to work on her meeting strangers.
Yes.
Which is a difficult thing to emulate and make a situation like that. But I think maybe we could do it if we catch her off guard with someone that she knows but doesn't.
Well, I will say Phoebe gets fooled. So I was outside yesterday in the backyard and Phoebe didn't see me go outside and I had turned my back to the door. And Phoebe came down the stairs after a nap and saw me out there and started barking. She thought I was a stranger.
Yeah, so that's the kind of situation that we can try and recreate.
Yeah, I've heard of people practicing, again, at the start of the pandemic, people had lots of different tricks for practicing those kinds of situations. And it was, you know, put on costumes, put on a hat, put on a wig, put on a mask, put on different kinds of clothing and see what happens. And again, try and introduce them slowly. So this was kind of one big tip. Practice the exercises you normally would, but if you're still in a COVID lockdown like us, you just have to get creative about it.
For Adelaide, one thing we need to be conscious of is to not expect her to react the same way she would in a situation a year ago.
Right. So we went back to the dog park a couple times since this third lockdown, and Phoebe was super spooked. but we didn't even think about Adelaide. We have to think about Adelaide being a dog in the pandemic, that she hasn't been to the dog park in months, and maybe just throwing her out into the dog park and expecting her to be her confident self. Maybe that's not going to happen. So not expecting too much of your puppy if they're brand new, or even if your dog was really social before the pandemic, not expecting too much when you're reintroducing them in.
And a big thing for us is not moving too quickly and expecting too much from PB. I think we have done a good job of that. But as things start to open back up, I don't think we need to push super hard to try and get her caught up to where she, quote, supposed to be at this point. If we expect her to be starting from zero or even from negative, right? It's sometimes harder to untrain and then retrain. So we need to be gentle with her when introducing her to new people.
Putting on clothing.
Yep.
I think dog parks.
I think we can do a lot of work with treats, like making sure that there are lots of treats available. She loves treats, right? She's very responsive to it when we have them. But sometimes it's tricky to know that you have them around. But I think that is something for the future that we can plan on.
Yeah. I think another tip as well, if you have a COVID puppy or a dog in the pandemic that's struggling with socialization, if it's safe and when it's safe, find a close-knit community for yourself, if possible, of other Italian greyhounds. If your dog is good with other Italian greyhounds, it might be better to have a meetup with one person distanced with masks or everyone's vaccinated than it would be to just drop your dog into the dog park with a bunch of dogs that are not Italian greyhounds. For us in particular, we now live outside of the city, so it's harder to find small dogs. So Adelaide might be nervous, especially because the only dog options for her to socialize with are German Shepherds, like the ones that live in the backyard. And it might be a little intimidating for her. So big tip would be, if you can, and it's COVID friendly, have a meetup with Italian greyhounds in your area. So this episode for us has kind of been an event session.
Yeah, it's kind of a check-in where we are right now. And I hope it is inspiring to people that also got dogs during the pandemic that maybe are not where they hope they would be by this time in their life, or like I said, have another dog and their dogs are not at the same place. Our tip section here has been quite short, which I kind of expected, but
we also reached out to the community and asked people if they were also struggling. Now, I did not check this fact, but I'm going to check it right now. We did a poll and we said, would you consider yourself a COVID puppy? Oh my goodness. 45 people said yes and 45 people said no.
Wow.
It was a 50-50 split right on the dot of, do you consider yourself a COVID puppy? And we described a COVID puppy as a dog that came home in the pandemic but struggles with socialization mm-hmm. because of COVID lockdowns or just change of life. So we have someone here who replied. This is Glenn. And Glenn is super social, but almost too social. He gets overly excited about other dogs. So, and I've also had another story as well submitted that is exactly the same as this. A COVID puppy that is actually too excited to meet other dogs, maybe because of the pandemic. And that was kind of Adelaide, not in the pandemic. She was so excited to meet other dogs. And I think that's just in her personality. But I can see how flip it on its head that a dog that is spending so much time alone, the second they get to meet other dogs, if they're naturally more excited and social, maybe they're just going to be too excited. I think that's going to be me after the pandemic. I'm going to be too social and excited.
And I can see if Adelaide was in this situation, that would be her.
Right. But because Adelaide now has Phoebe as well, that's changed her home life. And she's not as lonely and not as excited to meet new dogs. I'm not saying she's not still excited, but she is a bit more relaxed. So that's another full side of the story. A COVID puppy that has the opposite problem, we got another recommendation from Louie, and they recommended going to the dog park. It helped Louie so much with getting out of his shell. For a 12-pound dog, he doesn't fear any dog, no matter how big they are. Now, this is great. And again, if you have a really social dog and you feel safe going to the dog park, whatever life is like for you, wherever you are in the world, some people are, you know, back to normal. So going to the dog park is not a risk for the humans. And I think this is great. For us in Toronto, we brought Adelaide to the dog park a lot. And depending on the size of dog, we had some bad situations. I know we've talked about this on the podcast, but there was a husky puppy that sort of hit Adelaide on the back and she Iggy screamed for the entire park and everyone was looking at us and looking at the dog and really freaked out, as were we. But it's going to be a case-by-case basis, and I still recommend going to the dog park. I just think be cautious if you are someone with a small Iggy. Our girls are only 8 or 9 pounds, so they get very nervous around big dogs. Phoebe gets very nervous around big dogs. Adelaide's pretty good, unless there's a situation like this where a dog hits her. But I think that's great advice from Louie. Another submission here as well from Jasper and Jules. Socialization has been super tough. There's fewer meetups and dog gatherings. Well, you know, we feel the same. And right before the pandemic started, we actually had a meetup in Toronto that had 50 Iggies. We were all inside. It was in January 2020. And I just remember it felt magical that we had so many people all in the same space with Italian greyhounds. They were running around having so much fun. And I kind of feel like we didn't know the pandemic was coming, but every dog in that room was so lucky to be there. So I hope that outdoor social gatherings can happen again this summer, potentially depending where you are in the world, but we'll see. We've got another submission here that says, our pup isn't a COVID pup, but because of COVID, she has really been set back in her social progress as she has high anxiety. It's been tough for sure. So I definitely think that this is a situation many people are going through that don't have puppies, that potentially any social work that you've done with your dog, any socialization that you've worked on with your adult dog, maybe is getting taken back because of this. We experienced that with Adelaide in the beginning and her being upset when we would leave her alone. Adelaide got upset when we went down the hall to throw the garbage down the chute. So I think that's the same. And lastly, one last story here. Someone opened up to us here and said, I got one puppy during COVID, but had to take her to the animal shelter. Broke my heart. So this is, again, we started off this episode saying, make sure you do your research. Make sure you really know what you're committing to with a dog. And if you do get a dog that you can't take care of, making sure you're doing it responsibly. I know for us with our breeder, we have a contract that if you have to give the dog back, it's a rehoming situation and that they don't end up going to a shelter depending where you live and what kind of situation that is. But I know for us, that's always a reality with Italian Greyhounds, a sad reality that they're very unique dogs and require a lot of special attention. And sometimes it's not a great fit.
Yeah. I know that is a tough thing for people to talk about. The fact that not all dogs got to stay with the people that brought them home. It was a big story during sort of near the beginning of the pandemic that a lot of shelters were sending out more dogs than they were taking in. I have not heard more recently if the opposite is true. I would hope it's not too prevalent, but I don't think it should be surprising that some people, either their lives change completely, right? Like us, that we're not living in the situation that we were when we committed to this dog. Lots of people might have changed like that. Or that having the dog was not what they expected, whether they didn't have the support that they needed. We've been very lucky with the support system we have around, whether that's our friends that can take our dog for a walk when Jess gets an alert on her phone.
Oh my God.
Or her family that takes us in and have been really wonderful with the dog since we've been here.
Yeah.
So I know that we are very fortunate that we have had these troubles with Phoebe, but nothing has been detrimental. And we have said many times, can you believe we used to only have one dog? That was...
I can't remember it. Can't remember it. What was that time like?
Yeah. And can you believe when we had one, we never planned to get a second?
It's true.
And I think without the pandemic, that would have been true because Adelaide is so social that, right, she gets that fix by going to meetups, going to the dog park.
And we're pretty social too.
Mm-hmm.
We were always going out to meet our dog friends. And we would have our human friends over all the time. Come meet our puppy.
But since there was the time that she couldn't meet dogs, and there's probably going to be time in the future, whether that's a winter storm or we're in the middle of moving and someone needs to watch her and they can't take her out, I'm very glad that from here on they have each other.
Me too. So, would you recommend getting a puppy during a pandemic, Ryan?
Oh, that a blanket question.
I know.
Yes, because our life has been so much better from having her. But we're people that dive into what we do.
Yes.
Right? We decided to get a dog, which meant our lives are now about having the dog. If you're not ready to make that level of commitment, maybe no. But I still think, in general, people's lives are going to be better if they have a dog, whether that's the responsibility and like reason to get out of the bed in the morning, an emotional support dog for you if you're going through a hard time, a project for you and your partner to work on together. I think there's so many reasons that people would benefit from having a dog.
Yeah, and I think all those benefits outweigh the risk of it not going according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
That if you think this is what it's like having a dog, and then it doesn't pan out that way, I think having a support system is the best thing you can do. Have people that are here to support you and that love your dogs too. I know my family and your family love the dogs, and it's just so nice to see that it's not a burden to go home to our families because they actually do really love the dogs themselves. And if that's not you and you don't have a situation, a family situation like that, having a neighbor, having a friend, having any kind of support, even if it's you have Rover and you have an app that mm-hmm. someone will come and walk your dog and you know that that's helping your dog as well. They're socializing, they're getting to meet new people. It's all different with situations, but just figuring out a plan for you and your dog to give yourselves the best foot forward, pandemic or not.
Mm-hmm.
To all those COVID puppies out there, I hope that you are going to get some huge Iggy meetups in your future. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Iggy Parents.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we'd love if you left us a review. 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts help us get discovered by new Iggy parents and dog lovers alike.
You can subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening or wherever podcasts are found.
Our new vlog is going up on YouTube featuring Phoebe's journey through puppyhood.
Don't miss out on every pup date by subscribing to our newsletter at theiggyparents.com/newsletter.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by The Iggy Parents Shop. If you're looking for another way to support what we do here, check out our merch at theiggyparents.com/shop.
And don't forget to connect with us on Instagram by sharing your thoughts with us and your friends. Tag at the Iggy Parents, at Iggy Adelaide, and now you can even reach us at Iggy Phoebe.
Bye for now from Ryan,
Jess,
Adelaide,
and Phoebe.